What is up, my friends? Welcome to this episode. It is fan-stinking-tastic, and it's going to give you a lot of great info as a creative person, creative leader. I have Todd Henry on the show today, and it's a great, great chat about all the great things that he has going on and the great books he's written and all that sort of stuff. We're going to get to it in a minute. Listen, I do a free newsletter every week called MyFi Monday. Obviously, it's on Monday mornings, and MyFi Monday is a free newsletter for creatives and creative leaders that's filled with practical information and inspiration. You can go to MyFiPodcast.com to sign up for MyFi Monday. It's free. And it's a quick read, but it's a great way to start your week and to be encouraged. So I encourage you to go to MyFiPodcast.com. You can scroll down, sign up for MyFi Monday newsletter. Also, you can check out back episodes of the podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed. We've had a lot of great episodes back in the fall, and we've got a lot of great episodes coming up. So make sure you subscribe wherever you're at, wherever you listen to your podcast or watch your podcast. And then make sure you're following us on social at MyFi Podcast everywhere. You can follow me as well at Lee T. Baker. Would love to connect with you. Shoot me a message or a DM, but make sure you're following us. And gosh, I can't wait for this episode today. Let's get into it. Here we go. Oh, great episode. One of my favorite people. I fanboy a little bit in this episode. I'm letting you know, because Todd Henry is the man. When I was leading creative people for the first time in my life back in like 2005 and six, I was a few years into my job. There weren't a lot of resources back then to know how to be a creative person in the world, lead creative people in the world, practical things. And so I stumbled across Todd's podcast around 2007, 2008, 2006, maybe. Can't really remember. But I remember listening to an episode going, oh my gosh, it's like this dude's like speaking directly about the things that I'm dealing with on a daily basis. And I was blown away. His first book, The Accidental Creative, blew my mind. I read that book. I made a note. I think I read The Accidental Creative in 2011 or 2012. So it was a bit after it came out. I can't remember when that book actually came out. But he's written a ton of books. Die Empty, Louder Than Words, which I'm in the middle of right now. Herding Tigers, which is a book about leading creative people that I read years ago. The Daily Creative he wrote is a daily read. I read that every day. We talk about several of these books. He gives a great summary at the end of the episode. So if you're interested in like, man, all this is really interesting to me, could be a big help to me. He talks about each one of the books really briefly to maybe help you get started reading some of his work. We talk about all this crazy cool stuff he has going on. They've launched a new app around the Daily Creative and all the content that he's made for the past almost 20 years of doing what he's doing. And so we talk about all sorts of stuff, mainly about his new book, The Brave Habit, which I pre-ordered. Can't wait for it to come in. By the time this episode airs, actually, I should have it in my hand. It comes out on January 23rd. And so you'll be watching this later than that. And you can go get that book. I'm going to link up all his stuff in the show notes. So feel free to follow Todd. He's at Todd Henry on Instagram and X. He's the most active over there. And you can keep up with everything that he has going on. You can also check out toddhenry.com. You can get to the app, the Daily Creative app that they just launched from his website, and check out any and all of his books and find links and stuff all there. So toddhenry.com is probably the best place to hit. I love this. And you know what? I actually forgot to ask him this question. So I'm going to send him an email and see if, you know, encourage him to do like a social post or something. In his bio, he calls himself an arms dealer for the creative revolution. That may be the coolest job title I've ever heard in the world. And it's very, very true. But I want him to explain where that came from. I want to know where that came from. And there was the one question that I forgot to ask. And so I'm kicking myself because of it. So maybe he'll do a social post and talk about it. Hopefully he will. But this episode was fantastic, and his story is inspiring, and you get to hear a lot of great tidbits from The Brave Habit and some of his other books that are really insightful, really inspiring for creative people and creative leaders. So I hope you enjoy this conversation I had with Todd Henry. Todd, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, Lee. Thanks so much for having me back on the show.
Man, it's an absolute honor. I've been a fan for a long time. started the podcast in 2009. Probably I started listening. I think you were already earlier than that, like 06, something like that. Like
05 is when we put out the first episode.
Okay. So I wasn't too far off. Read The Accidental Creative. It was huge in my life. Herding Tigers. Even just about a year ago, I started Louder Than Words. I had never read that before. I got about 40% into that book and my mind was blown. I had just made a huge career shift in the creative industry and it was just super pivotal, super inspiring. So just from one man to another, just want to say thank you for what you've done. It's been huge in my life and a lot of people that I work with too.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot. Obviously you make things hoping that somewhere out there, somebody will find them useful. And so it's encouraging to hear that you found them useful. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. I was telling my wife, right before we hit red, we were just eating lunch together and I said, I'd read Herding Tigers years ago as well. Which is a book that you wrote a while back, for leadership of creative people, which is not a common topic. I literally can't name another book on creative leadership. And I bought it for a friend of mine as well. And he read it and we were reading it at the same time and just blown away. And, so the work you've done has obviously been huge, but you got this new book coming out and I found it really interesting. The whole purpose of Brave Habit was when you did Die Empty, which I haven't read yet, but I'm going to get to, when you did Die Empty, there was something missing in that. You talked a little bit about it in a post, but I want to hear the whole story of the inspiration behind it.
Yeah. So I wrote Die Empty between 2011, 2013. The book came out in 2013, put it out. People were reading it, did really well. I was traveling around speaking about it everywhere, but there was something that always bothered me about that book. I talked about these seven forces that can stand in the way of doing great work and how to overcome them. But the one topic that I didn't really talk about in the book is, well, how do you overcome them? Well, you have to exhibit bravery in order to do that.
Yeah.
And it bothered me so much that I actually, when I would go out and speak about Die Empty, I would call the talk Brilliance Demands Bravery. That was the title of the talk. And I would talk about how we have to be brave enough to do these things, which is fine. That's all fine and good. But I realized, I can't just tell people go be brave. I have to give them some mechanism for being brave because there's a lot of talk about courage in our culture. You know, that's kind of a big topic over the last several years. You know, be courageous, have courage. But I always felt like that was a little bit like telling people to be a little bit taller or jump a little bit higher or something.
That's good. Well,
nice, but what can I do with that? Right? Like, be courageous. Okay, you know, because it's a virtue, it's a quality. But it doesn't feel very actionable. It feels like something either you have or you don't.
Yeah.
Bravery, on the other hand, like I can look at somebody and say, that was a brave thing they just did, right? Bravery is, I believe, the active form of courage. And so what I wanted to do is give people some framework to understand not just how to deploy bravery consistently, but also like what are some of the qualities that lead to an environment where you're more likely to be brave.
Yeah.
And so that was really what I wanted to unpack with the book and really just make it very practical for people. Take this thing of like courage and bring it sort of down to the very practical level of like, okay, what does that mean? How do I rise to the moment in my life and do things that other people might think are crazy, but I know that they're the right thing to do in that moment, even though it might cost me something. That's really what I wanted to do with this book.
Yeah, I think it's timely too. This seems to be like a season in culture in a lot of industries, in particular in the creative industry has been my experience and yours too. Was it the timeliness of what's going on in the culture? And what I mean by that is nobody really seems to know what the formula is right now.
Right.
Post pandemic, all that sort of stuff. It feels a little bit like the Wild West. And if you're a nervous person or naturally maybe not a brave person, that is daunting and scary. If you can cultivate this, I think it's a positive experience. Was the timing of culture, was that something to do with this? Or did it just hit because of the chasm that you referenced in Die Empty and you just wanted to fill that?
Yeah, so I started working on this book in 2016, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I was writing it over the course of many years. I've published multiple books since I started working on this one.
Oh, wow.
And so it's kind of been a seasonal thing where I've kind of seen this coming for a while. But I will say, to your point, I think that we're at a point right now in society and culture in general where we've witnessed the decoupling of a lot of traditional cause and effect mechanisms in society, We could talk about that culturally. We could talk about it politically. We could talk about it economically. Nothing makes sense anymore. Everything is kind of upside down. And so because of that, I think a lot of people are feeling anxiety. I think they're feeling a sense of powerlessness. Yep. And you know, the whole world, the whole narrative that we're kind of taught from a young age, at least, you know, sort of in the Western world, is like, you grow up, you work hard, you get grades, you go to school, you get out, and then you've got lots of opportunity in front of you, right? And that's kind of the narrative we're taught, generally speaking, right?
Yeah,
I would say in the Western world. And I think people are starting to see the decoupling of cause and effect in some of those areas. And you know, you could abstract that and say that's the case economically, where we're seeing like, traditionally, raise interest rates and unemployment goes up and then inflation goes down. And it's like, none of those things seem to be working anymore, right?
Yeah,
like the Fed's doing everything it can and inflation's coming down and interest rates are starting to come down, but like it didn't take a recession to get there. And it's like weird. It's like economically weird. These things are happening. So all of that, I think, plays to this thing of like people are feeling more and more out of control. They have more things in their sphere of concern that are creating anxiety. But as Stephen Covey said, we need to focus on our circle of influence, the places where we can act. And that's where bravery is exhibited. There's nothing I can do about global macroeconomic dynamics unless I'm, you know, president of the United States or like chairman of the Fed or something. But there are things I can do in my personal sphere of influence where I can activate bravery consistently and make the world around me better. And I think if all of us chose to do that consistently, I think it would be a very different world. The fabric of our world would be very different if people chose to act bravely within their sphere of influence.
Yeah, I think it's going to take it to figure it out. Somebody's going to have to rock the boat in every industry. In the, I work in the music industry primarily, and it's nothing's working. The label model's broken. You know, nobody knows how to deal with the digital service providers, and musicians are barely making enough to live, and it's really discouraging. And nobody knows what's next, and everybody's, you know, wondering how to shake the boat. And so topics like this, books like this, conversations like this are super important for people to have the bravery they need to take that idea that they think is crazy and move forward. I just pre-ordered the book today, so I'm super stoked to grab it and read it and everything.
So I think the music industry is a really great example of this, right? Because you had a decades-long model that generally worked really well for the labels, generally worked really well for the artists generally, because you had a product you were making and you would put out and people would buy it. And the model, as you and I know, I've got some music business experience, right? Like you would sell a record and that record would have like maybe four songs on it that you knew were likely going to get radio play or were going to get attention. They were the singles, right? That you knew were going to do well. And then you probably had like six songs that were like co-written by a producer or co-written by a friend of the producer or a friend of the artist or, you know. And so there's all this sort of like other stuff that often kind of got packaged in with the songs that you knew were going to be great songs, with the intent of like, we're going to keep this whole industry afloat, right? And there are engineers who were coming to produce records who were, or coming to engineer records who were being held up by this entire model. So, you know, you got this whole, the economics of the whole system is based on, we put together a thing and then we sell it for $20 or whatever and people buy it and all these people benefit from that. Well, then you start decoupling these songs and you start saying, we're going to sell them piecemeal for 99 cents or it all becomes single driven. And all of a sudden songwriters are like, wait a minute. Okay. This is, you know, where are the economics of the industry? And then all of a sudden you get to a place where you can't even sell records anymore. You can't even sell singles anymore. Now it's all based on streams.
Yep.
The industry was set up perfectly for the artists and for the industry and for the labels. But it wasn't set up well for the consumers. So somebody came in and realized, oh, I can create something that's better for the consumer, but at the expense of the industry. So I think the brave thing that needs to be done moving forward is, how do we create some mechanism that is good for the artists and for the ecosystem and supports the ecosystem and also is good for the consumer? And that's probably going to mean the consumer is going to have to be willing to say, I'm willing to pay some money for the things that I value. I have a friend, Thad Cockrell. I'm actually interviewing him tomorrow for my podcast. Thad just put out a record.
Yeah, I love Thad.
He's, He's charging $99 for his record. It's $99 to buy the record, but he's like, if you want great music, I'm going to produce the great music, and I'm going to trust that you're going to be willing to pay for the music that you love.
That's awesome.
I'm going to try to make it a mass success and try to, I'm going to find the people who want great music and I'm going to ask them to pay for it. But you know what? I'll make you something really great if you're willing to pay me to make it for you, kind of thing. And I think that that's a very brave thing that he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing something similar with my podcast. We just completely demolished 18 years of work and started over with episode one because I realized I'm not doing the thing that I would be doing if I were starting over. So, well, then why am I not doing it? Am I doing it the way I'm doing it? So we demolished 18 years of work and started over. I think bravery doesn't always mean completely reinventing everything, but bravery definitely means listening to that little voice, that hunch, that intuition that says, you probably should be doing this differently and being willing to listen to that or being willing to follow that intuition wherever it leads.
Yeah. And it's okay to fail at it and be brave again, make a mistake, and it's fine. Everybody's in this season. And so, man, I think this book is going to be huge. I think the podcast is going to be huge. The Snakebite episode, which was the first one, I believe, was great. I just was exploring a little bit when I was doing, prepping for this episode about the app. And the things that you're doing with that. Talk a little bit about that, because I thought that was a really cool concept.
Yeah, so the other thing that comes with this brave decision that we're making to get rid of 18 years of work is we're getting rid of an entire back catalog, which amounts to a lot of downloads. I mean, our podcast has tens of millions of downloads at this point.
Jeez.
We're getting rid of that back catalog, which was still a consistent performer, and we were advertising. So we've completely gotten rid of advertising as a revenue model. And instead, we've built an app. And sort of similar to what Thad is doing, we said, listen, we're going to make some great stuff for you. And we're going to build this app that's going to be really valuable on a daily basis. It's going to serve up daily prompts and challenges and bonus material and 18 years of back episodes of the podcast and courses and all this stuff. And we're going to trust that people are going to be willing to say, I will pay to support this show. I'll pay to support the app because you're giving me so much more than I'm getting in return. So that's kind of the bet that we're making. And it's a bit of a brave bet because honestly, giving up advertising amounts to what would be a really good salary for someone, right? And we're basically just foregoing that. We're just saying we're going to drop it. We're going to burn the ships and move forward. But it's the right thing. It's what I would be doing if I were starting over again. It's how I would be doing it. And I can't, in good conscience, write a book, Lee, called The Brave Habit and challenge people to be brave in their work. And then work, know that I'm kind of coasting and phoning it in. I can't do that. So that's why all this is happening at the same time. That's why I'm reinventing everything all at once.
Yeah, it's fantastic, man. Have you always, obviously, I mentioned earlier, I discovered the podcast in 2007, something like that. And honestly, at the time there weren't a lot of resources for people like me who were working in a creative industry or leading creative people, leading creative teams, all that sort of stuff. So, we start sharing it. Was that always the passion or how did you grow up and let's go all the way back. Did you grow up around creativity and just go, no, I want to be a writer? Is writing your main discipline? What is that the way you started? How did you get started in creativity? I guess is the first question. And the second question is, when did you really get passionate about helping other creative people?
Yeah. So I didn't. I grew up in a really rural environment, which is great because we literally had nothing to do all day. It was basically if we weren't at school, it's what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's try to build a helicopter out of a lawnmower engine.
Where were you from originally?
Central Ohio. So I grew up in rural Central Ohio.
Okay.
Or let's try to build a ruby rod laser and see if we can blow up our garage or let's film a movie, right? We go out in the woods with a video camera, which at the time is a giant, shoulder held with the big pack, and you go out and we would film VHS. Movies and do stop motion. Yeah, exactly. So in that way, it was great because we had all these really cool, inventive things that we would do. My neighbor, by the way, who lived a mile away, but it was my neighbor. We do all these cool, fun things. I went to school, went to college, studied marketing in school. And then I kind of paid a big chunk of my school playing music, performing music full time.
Oh, cool.
So I spent the first handful of years after college pursuing a music career as a songwriter, singer-songwriter, Spent a ton of time in Nashville, in and out of Nashville, traveling all over. I had as much success as you can have without being successful in the music business.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, meaning like I got to tour and like open for a bunch of really big acts and, you know, did all the things that looked really cool from the outside, but like the economics of that just don't make sense long-term unless you're able to sort of hit that inflection point. And so I met my wife. I was living in Cincinnati at the time, met my wife, and she convinced me music business, gainful employment, and marrying an amazing woman. You can have two of the three, but you can't have all three. So I chose gainful employment, marrying an amazing woman, and ended up, you know, kind of walking away from the music business, which at the time, like that was really, that's like where I saw myself long-term. And I was writing with a ton of great people. And some of the people I was writing with have gone on to have like these phenomenal careers as songwriters in Nashville or artists in Nashville. And it's funny because at the time, like everybody around thought like I was going to be the guy, right? Because out there doing these big shows and stuff. And everybody's like, oh, he's going to be the guy that's going to do it. And then I'm the one who like quit and walked away. But again, like to go back to this thing of bravery, like that was sort of like, I have a vision for my life. And my vision for my life is no longer confluent with my circumstances. And my vision is like, I want to marry this woman. I want to build a life together. Okay. Well, I need to then make some brave steps to like, you know, move in that direction. And so then I ended up getting a job as a creative director for an organization. And I led a team of really talented writers and designers and videographers for several years after that. This is like in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And right around 5 or 6 years into that is when I got the idea for the podcast, because I was trying to figure out like, how do I keep these really talented people, some of whom were doing work that people would even know, right? Like doing this incredible work. But how do I keep them engaged and fresh? And I would go to my other creative director friends at companies and say like, hey, how are you keeping your team engaged? What do you do when they burn out? And they're like, what do you mean? We just burn through them and bring in a fresh crop. Like that's what we do, you know?
Yeah.
And that didn't seem right. And so I started the podcast really just to deal with this problem I was having, which is how do I keep my team fresh? How do I keep them prolific, brilliant, and healthy? And I was figuring some stuff out that was working. So I wanted to share it. And I did. I shared it. Put it out, kind of forgot about it. The podcast took off unbeknownst to me. There were thousands of people listening to it all of a sudden. And I started getting these emails and invitations to like go speak at companies and at events and stuff. And that was really weird to me because I was still like leading a team, you know? So I was taking vacation time to go speak at conferences or companies. And then long story short, because there's a bunch that happened, but ended up getting a book deal with Penguin Random House for The Accidental Creative. And that was the point at which I realized, okay, I need to make a move and step full time into doing this. And so that was what happened. And about a year later, the book came out. So that was kind of my journey. I really started the podcast at the time called The Accidental Creative to scratch my own itch, to sort of help me solve the problem of, you know, how do I keep my team healthy? And then it turned into something I didn't anticipate. I'd stepped into something I didn't anticipate stepping into.
Yeah. Was there a point? That's amazing. Thanks for sharing. I didn't know that you had background in the music industry. So at least that. I know you've mentioned it a couple of times, you know, either in podcasts or books or something. So vaguely I knew, but not to that degree. Was there a time, I guess, after you stepped into the full-time writing thing, you get the deal with the publisher, you write The Accidental Creative. Was there a time, I'm sure there was, but one that comes to mind where you felt like, I should not have done this. I made a mistake. I left that gainful employment behind that I got into when I got married, and I'm concerned, I'm anxious, I'm worried. You took the leap, and now it's like, oh no, did I do the right thing?
So this is something I actually talk about in the book, right? As well, that bravery isn't always brash action, and it's not boldness. Mm-hmm. Boldness and bravery are not the same thing. Meaning we tend to think that people who make bold leaps into the unknown are brave people, but sometimes that's actually its own form of cowardice. Sometimes making a bold leap without planning first is absolving yourself of responsibility for the outcome of your decision, right? Because if I'm strategic and I think it through, and I calculate and then I make a leap, well, then it's all my fault. But if I make a bold leap, then I'm sort of, you know, I abdicate my responsibility because, oh, well, it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
So my wife and I had done a number of years of planning, actually, to get me to a place where I was ready to make that leap. Because I wanted to do it in like 2007, but it wasn't right. And so for her, for my stakeholder, I had to ask, yeah. Okay, what will make you feel good about me making this decision? And mm-hmm. that's not, by the way, that's not cowardice. That's wisdom.
It's wise. Yeah, right? It's wise.
Yeah. And so she said, well, we need to have X amount of dollars in the bank. So we know that if you do this and then it doesn't work out, that we have time to figure out a plan B. And then we set some marks for like, what does success look like in year one, if I do make a leap. And so we hit that mark. And once we hit the mark, I was like, I think I'm ready to go. And she said, well, we made an agreement. So go for it, you know, make the leap. Had we not had that conversation, I think it would have been a much more difficult process. I think it would have been much more tumultuous. But because we strategized and had a plan, we set some parameters around the leap. It was still brave. As a matter of fact, it was probably the most brave thing to like have that conversation and delay that leap. Actually, sometimes bravery means waiting.
Yeah,
it doesn't always mean acting. Sometimes bravery means letting go. Like I talked about my music business thing, it's like letting go of that so you can move forward. So that was really what it was. And so for anybody considering making brave moves, especially big brave moves in some of the big areas of your life, make sure you have people around you who are stakeholders who are helping you set some parameters around what that looks like.
Yeah,
because bravery is not boldness. It's not brashness.
Yeah, that's super wise, man. Those first few months after you took that leap, were you feeling pretty confident? I mean, I know you had a publishing deal at the time, but I know it takes, anytime you take a shift, and I guess I'm asking these questions because the book is about bravery. And my own personal story, you know, in the last couple of years connects to this too. But so I may be asking some of these personally as well, but I know a lot of creative people in these tumultuous times when we're all trying to figure out what's next, and it's going to take some brave people to do that. Those first couple of months of you shifting, was there a lot to get used to? And just maybe it's just the flow of your day. Maybe your circle of people that you were around changed. What changed that you went, yeah, that took some time to get used to?
Well, I think it was the beauty of building something on the side, which, by the way, people who are listening who are doing something on the side and you think, oh, I want to go do that full time. Wouldn't it be great if I could do this full time? Just realize that the moment you do that, suddenly it goes from being something where you can kind of dream, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, it doesn't. To now you have a responsibility to build this thing, because this is your main thing. And maybe some of the joy that you took in it when it was a sideline project suddenly disappears. It evaporates because now you have all the logistical problems of making it work. I left my job with $5,000 of guaranteed income on the balance sheet, right? Or not the balance sheet, the income statement, but anyway. but that's that was not something that made me nervous. I mean, I had a little bit of money from the book advance. We had the money saved up that we'd agreed to, but I only had $5,000 of client income on the books. And most of what I, you know, most of where I make my money now is speaking and teaching and training and working with companies or speaking at events, things like that. But I wasn't nervous. I wasn't worried because I knew I had the capacity to do it. I had three kids. I was married. I was the sole breadwinner for the family at the time. It was really, I would say it was a nerve-wracking moment for sure, but it was the right thing. And that's the thing like about bravery. In the book, I talk about the two elements that are present when brave action occurs. The first is that you have an optimistic vision of the future. So you have a clear optimistic vision of how things could be better in a given situation. The second is that you have a sense of perceived agency, that you believe you have the capacity to bring it about. Doesn't mean bravery will happen, but those are the two elements that tend to be present when brave decisions are made. I had a very clear vision of where I wanted to go. I knew exactly what I wanted to build, and I knew I had the ability to do it. And so at that point, it was really just a matter of, am I going to do it or am I not? Yeah. Right. It wasn't, I don't know. It's a little fuzzy. I'm not sure what I'm doing. No, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I knew I had the ability to do it because I'd been doing it for years as a creative director. Like I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I think, and also, by the way, it might not have worked, and you cannot discount the role of market forces and luck and all kinds of things. Like the book did really well. My first book did really well. And that really opened up a lot of doors. It might not have worked. And I might have been like a one and done author. And I might have had to go get another creative director gig somewhere. And would I have had regrets? I would have had zero regrets about having done it. Because I think the regrets would have been if I was like, well, maybe I should play it safe and stay where I am and not want for anything more than what I'm doing. I think I would have deep regrets about that. But fortunately, the book did well. The second book did well. The third book, the fourth book, the fifth book, sixth book, seventh book, you know, all of them in sequence have done well. Well, the seventh book has yet to be determined. That's a Brave Habit. But
I was going to ask what number Brave Habit was.
Yeah. Brave Habit's number seven. And so far it's doing well. So in terms of, it's not on sale yet, but it's doing well in terms of pre-orders. So
that's awesome. Obviously you love music. What do you listen to, bro? What are you into?
I have a really weird taste in music. So like the music I played when I played music was like, Bakersfield Country. So like honky tonk, think like Dwight Yoakam, the Mavericks, Buck Owens, that kind of stuff. Which probably means nothing to most people listening to this, but that's kind of like the vibe of the music that I wrote and still write, by the way. I still write and record.
Hey, we had a guest on the show, sorry to interrupt you, from Ohio, a band that sort of is in that ballpark called the Shootouts that were fantastic.
Okay. And
you should check them out. They're an Ohio based,
I will definitely
Akron,
do that.
I think they're Akron based band.
Yeah, that's the other corner of the state. Yeah,
they're kind of vibe. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. Buck Owens style stuff.
That's like when I'm listening to music, it's usually that kind of thing. It's like that honky tonk, Bakersfield chicken picking Telecaster kind of stuff. Heavy on the pedal steel, you know, kind of thing. But I also love like Lord Huron and like some of that vibey kind of music. But when I'm working, I'm usually listening to classical music. So if you look at my Spotify Wrapped, it's usually like Chopin, Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, right? Yeah. And it's like, you would think I'm like some classical, but that's usually what I'm listening to when I'm working or I'm writing or whatever. That's kind of the vibe.
I'm sure it's hard to listen to stuff with lyrics while you're trying to write words.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, I definitely don't want Pete Anderson playing a B bender in my ear when I'm trying to come up with a witty phrase, right? Or whatever. So.
Yeah, for sure, man. Let me ask you this. We'll ask you this to wrap up today. If people are just getting familiar with your work, because I'm sure that with every book and every topic that you hit with creative people, there's people like me who were like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this book. No one's ever written a book like this for creative people before. But if they're just here, they're listening to this podcast, they're going, oh, he's got the app, he's got the podcast, he's got soon to be seven books out, or now seven books out if you're listening to this podcast. Now Brave Habit's out. Is there a book that you would say, read this one first? Because in a way, Brave Habit is not supplementary, but a complement to Die Empty. Right. So is there a book that you would go, read this first and sign up for the app, and you're going to experience some growth or some encouragement or whatever it may be?
Yeah, I would tell people first, like, go listen to the podcast, right? Like, because that's really, we make that as a gift for creative pros every week. That's basically what it is, like a gift to be unwrapped every week by creative pros, different topics. So Daily Creative with Todd Henry, I'd say go listen to that, because obviously your listeners are listening to a podcast right now. So,
sure.
So that's a great free way to get involved wherever you listen to podcasts. In terms of books, it's probably easier for me to give a quick one-sentence summary of each book.
Yeah, so that'd be great.
Can identify. The Accidental Creative is for people who are really creative and they have to be creative under pressure, but they struggle with organizing their world, right? So that's really what that book is about, how to position your world to be brilliant in the moments that it's. Die Empty is about how to ensure that you're doing the right things. Are you doing work you're going to be proud of later? And what are some of the forces that come against people doing work that they'll be proud of later? Louder Than Words, my third book, is really about, okay, how do you find your unique voice as an artist? How do you figure out your style, your thing, what you're going to be known for? That's really what Louder Than Words is about. Herding Tigers is for those of you who have to lead talented creative people. And it's really about like some of the practical, tactical things you can do to position your team to be successful. My fifth book is called The Motivation Code. It came out in 2020. It's a little hard to find now because it came out during the pandemic and it was part of a company that I was a partner in that we just sold. But it's about what drives motivation, truly drives motivation. And it offers some profiles of how to discover what uniquely drives you in terms of motivation. Daily Creative was my sixth book, which is a daily reader for creative pros. And actually, it's much fantastic. Of what's in Daily Creative, the book, is in the app now in audio form. So you can listen daily to those entries and do the little prompts right there in the app. And then number seven is the brave habit. And the brave habit is about how to position yourself to be brave every single day as you go out and do your creative work.
Man, again, if you guys never heard Todd's work before, or go listen to the podcast, The Daily Creative is a great book to start with. I can speak for myself. That was a great book. I still read it every day. It's sitting on this table right behind my chair. And it's just super encouraging. I was stoked to know that the podcast was coming out. I think you announced it in December or something, and mm-hmm. it started in the new year. Stoked about the app and the new book for you, man. Your work's meant a lot of things to me and to a lot of people that I know. And so I'm glad the first book was successful and it worked out and you weren't a one and done author, because there's been a lot of creative people who've benefited from your work. So man, I wish you the best of luck with The Brave Habit. Thank you so much for the time, Todd. It's a big deal for me to get to say thank you for everything that you've done, and look forward to everything with the app and all the stuff that you have going on, man. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, if people are curious about the app thing, they can go to dailycreative.app. That's the website.
So. And we'll link all this stuff in the show notes. Every book and Todd's website and all that sort of stuff will be in the show notes. So just feel free to click down there, and you can follow Todd on social at Todd Henry on IG and X, Twitter. He's super active over there. So thanks again, Todd, for the time, man.
Thank you, Lee.
Just amazing. I cannot wait to get into this book, The Brave Habit, and to finish Louder Than Words. I shared a little bit about my interaction with the book, Louder Than Words. I read up to about half of it, and I was so inspired. It got me cooking on some projects I was working on, and then I just haven't picked it back up to finish it, and I should. But it was super inspiring in so many of his books and podcasts and blogs and all that stuff they've been so inspiring to me. Thank you, Todd, for being on the show. Please check out toddhenry.com and follow Todd at Todd Henry on social media. Check out the new Daily Creative app that he has going on. If you didn't get a chance to pre-order The Brave Habit, hit up your favorite bookseller, go get The Brave Habit, check it out. Or if one of his other books appealed to you, go grab it. I have never picked up anything, read anything that Todd's done that I haven't been blown away, encouraged, helped, inspired by in some way. So I'm super honored that Todd was on this episode of the show. Really grateful for all the work that he's done. Also, go check out myfipodcast.com and sign up for MyFi Monday. If you're a creative person of any kind, songwriter, filmmaker, blogger, writer, painter, videographer, musician, producer, engineer, whatever, there's practical inspiration in MyFi Monday each week for you to just get you started on your week. It's in your inbox every Monday morning at 6 a.m. Along with some practical information. There's some people that I follow. There's always some cool stuff that I found. Some of my favorite things that I use on the daily as a creative person. And I think you'll dig it. There's a lot of great responses. We've been doing the newsletter for a few months now, and a lot of great responses to that. Make sure that you're subscribed wherever you're at to the MyFi podcast. I also do coaching for creatives and creative leaders at myficoaching.com. You can go check out that website as well. If one-on-one coaching for you as a creative interests you, would love to work with you, you can shoot me an email and actually fill out a little form for a free 30-minute call and let us connect and see if coaching's right for you. So thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. Again, make sure you follow Todd, check out toddhenry.com. And until next time, you guys have a good one.